All right. Now today, we have patriotic pictures for you. Not just a $10 bill. This is a new $10 bill. I just made it this morning. It's good anywhere south of the border. All right. We're good. It's the new multicolored. Who was Alexander Hamilton? Anybody tell me who Alexander Hamilton was? No, he wasn't a president. People. Who was Alexander Hamilton? Who? The first Secretary of Treasury. Did you get it? Who had it? Spanky, you had it. You look like a history nerd right there. Good man. Alexander Hamilton. Was that who you were going to say? Because that's who he wasn't. He was actually the first Attorney General. No, but Secretary of Treasury. Yes, he was. Helped us establish our currency in America. Good American, Alexander Hamilton. So, the guy who wins gets one of these. The girl who wins gets one of these. Tomorrow, we'll add Jackson on you. $20 to the one who wins. Now, it just gets harder as it goes along. Yesterday, I was very easy on you. Okay, so those of you who look like... those of you look like a buzzer with a hernia. Okay, you're just kind of going. You're going to be out so fast, it's not even going to be funny. We're going to drop you like third period French. No, you're going to be gone. Okay, so you got to go quickly. You got to be with me, and you know the rules. How many understand the rules of Jesus says? You understand the rules of Jesus says? Put your hand up in the air like that right there. I don't know when to start yet. You're still legal. It's all right. How many understand the rules of Jesus said? We haven't started yet, so you can put your hand up without Jesus saying. If you don't understand the rules, do I need to explain it again to you? You don't do anything until Jesus says. Now today, and brother, you're going to need to help me, and some of you folks in the back need to help me. If you move too slow, you're gone. So if you do one of these numbers, you're like a retard quick draw artist. You're out. Seriously, you're going to get busted. Go, hey man, I'm giving up some serious money here. You know how many weeks I have to work to make that kind of money? A lot of weeks. So let's just get with the program this morning. All right, Jesus says starts now. Are you ready? Hands to your side, nice and straight. Goodbye, son. You're already gone. See that? Jesus didn't say to do that. Just like that. Fast, but too slow. Are you disappointed? Not really. We've got a rich man in our presence this morning. $10 is no big deal, huh? You don't even really care? Well, yeah. Sort of. But not really. Are you sure? Are you confused? Do you know where you are? Do you know what day this is? Not really. No wonder he's out. Okay. So, for those of us who are not in special ed, let's try this morning. All right, here we go. Jesus said, hands to your side. Jesus said, put one hand up there like that, and I'll put your hand down. Bye-bye. Already gone. See, that's just that quick. And hey, by the way, yesterday was what I think it's the first time I've ever done this. I've done Christian schools all over the place. First time, right hand, sweet baby, put your right hand up. Bye-bye, and Jesus didn't tell you that. First time yesterday that it was a guy who finished last. That's pretty impressive. Don't you think so, fellas? Is that impressive? Huh? Bye-bye, son. Don't shake your head. Jesus didn't tell you to do that. Gone already, just like that. All right, fine. That's the first time I can remember. Jesus said, make sure your right hand is up. All right? Jesus told you to do that. A little faster, sweet baby. Now, you're the one who had coffee this morning. Did you say you had coffee this morning? Bye, Jesus didn't ask you that question. Good, you said I had two cups. All right, here we go. Now, make sure you got your right hand up. Now, Jesus said, wave your hand like that. And do the queen wave, all right, like this. No, Jesus didn't tell you to do that one, son. Bye-bye. Hasta luego. So, your hand should be moving. Good, all right. Jesus said, stop. Jesus said, put your hand to your side. No, you're going too slow. Now, that's your last mercy. Got it? Move over this way. I can't see you, son. Won't you put your bye-bye? Go ahead and sit down because you're gone. All right. Now, here we are. The toot-toot brothers on this side are not too sharp. You guys are already out. You understand? The toot-toot. Somebody said toot-toot. Got spit on the back of my neck over here. I know it was second row, third row. I'm not sure who that was. All right, let's get a little exercise this morning. Jesus said run in place. Pastor, is there any water by chance? Can I get a bottle of water or something, or a glass of water or short beer or anything? Just some more. What happened? Now, hey, people who are sitting down can't make fun of people who are still standing up. Because you have to just kind of sit there and go, Are you getting tired? Jesus said, go faster. Good. It's aerobics workouts. Good for you. Okay, stop. No, bye-bye, sweetie. You just stop. You're gone. If you stop, you're gone. Good. Keep going. You're fine. Good. You two jog over this way a little bit. I can't see you. Move over that way a little bit. Jesus said, move over this way a little bit. Keep coming. Jesus said, come on. I'm going to stop right there. No, Jesus tells you to stop. You're good. If we keep jogging, you're fine. Keep running. Good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Jesus said, stop. Jesus said, raise your right hand. Jesus said, put your right hand down. Jesus said, put your right hand up. Jesus said, put your right hand down. Put your arm out like that. See, if you kind of flinch, that means you're gone too. Sorry. Move over that way. I can't see you. Oh, almost caught. You caught yourself. I'll allow mercy on an almost. Okay? You're pretty smart. What's your name? Look at it. Sitting there going, wheels going. That was almost painful, huh? Jesus said, move right over there, please, for me. Good. This close. Jesus said, one more step. One more step. No, close. Jesus said, you move over here to the aisle, please. Jesus said, you move over here to the aisle behind her, please. Jesus said, you move over next to her, and you move over next to her. All right. Jesus said, you move over next to her. Jesus said, move over a little further. Get past this lady right here, if you would, a girl right there. Bye-bye. See, now Jesus didn't tell you to do that, so now you're gone. Jesus said, you come all the way over here, all the way across. Jesus said, all the way across, then next to your friend on the aisle right there. Uh-huh. Go over one more. Oh. Jesus said, go over one more. You. What's your name? Jesus said, what's your name? Lupe. Lupe. Como está aquí right here? See? Oh. Lupe. Jesus said, come right down there. Very good. Not bad. You're pretty smart, huh? You're welcome. Goodbye. I didn't even ask you a question. No. Jesus said, don't argue with me either. Go sit down. You're gone. Oh, come on, girl. You did so good up to that moment. And it was like, yeah, isn't that, that's a rip. Isn't it a rip? That's it. Lupe got a bad attitude on her right now, girl. Look at that. Good. Jesus said, you come up a little bit closer, please. Good. You stay right there, okay? Hands to your side. Good. All right, let me get a drink of water. Hold on. And you wonder why I'm picking on the girls and not the guys. So you've got all these guys over here, and they're just standing there going, I hope he doesn't ask me nothing, man. I don't even see what my name is, you know. How many of you guys have a car? You got a car? Anybody got a car? Driver's license. Jesus said, any of you guys have a driver's license? When did you get yours? No, you can put your hands down. Already. Jesus said, put your hands down. All right, good. Three drivers over here. All right, let's try it again one more time. Arms out like that. Jesus said, put your arms out like that. Put your palms up. Ain't he dumb? Man, scoot over. I can't see you there. Goodbye, son. You're gone. All right, you're out of there, too. Oh, man. That's what you get for laughing at your friend, Jesus. Come on, man. All right, Jesus said, put your hands down. Jesus said, put your hands up. Put your hands down like that. The last girl. Were you the last one yesterday? No. That's right. But you're the last girl, so you get the $10. There you go. All right, good. Now we're going to work on these guys and get rid of them real fast, okay? Good. Jesus said, put your hands down, right? One hand up in the air like that. Jesus said, one hand in the air like that. Too slow. Now, you're almost all out at the same time because you're going too slow. We got to get to chapel and get over it, okay? Are you ready? Run up. Jesus said, put your hands down. Jesus said, put your hands up. Jesus said, put your arm out like this. Jesus said, put your hand down like that. Now, Jesus said, put your palms up like this. Now, turn your palm down. Luke, I can't see you. Move over this way a little bit. Bye-bye, Luke. That lean got you, bro. You're out. Sorry about that. Jesus said, what's your name? You're gone, son. I asked you what your name was. He's standing there going, I ain't saying nothing. And you're right. You're gone. All right. Good. Now, I was easy on you today. Tomorrow, if I'm giving up $40 tomorrow, bro, if you bat an eye, you're history. Okay? Good. Let's take our Bibles this morning, please. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. So how many girls had coffee this morning again? One more time. How many had coffee? Late Miami had coffee, of course. Who said, I drink cappuccino? That's coffee. Isn't that coffee? A coffee product of some kind. How about that? All right, coffee product of some kind. Okay. Cappuccino is a coffee product. Isn't it a coffee product? One of them this morning, Pastor Angel, one of them said, do you have coffee this morning? Uh-huh, I had coffee this morning. I had coffee this morning. Yes, I had coffee this morning. She's making coffee nervous over here. I'm telling you. What is your name, by the way? Huh? Matt, remember that tomorrow, Matt. It'll get you through. It will. When Jesus says, "What's your name?" you don't go, "Matt," spit was starting to run down your face. I mean, here we go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Okay, two people, two houses, two different results, though, yes? What Jesus is talking about here is not house building. He's not talking about construction work. He's talking about building your life. I want you to hear me this morning, young people. Listen to me. Jesus, in just a few verses, told you how you could know in advance how your life's going to turn out. Not maybe how it could be, almost might, would be, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Those four verses right there told you how your life will turn out in advance. You can know right now. Right now. My people say, people my age say, "Boy, if I could go back and live it all over again, I wouldn't make the same mistakes." You're absolutely right. You probably wouldn't. You'd make a whole new set. We can't go back. We can't reclaim things. There's a principle in the Bible, twice mentioned in the New Testament, about redeeming the time. That doesn't mean go back and reclaim something. It means pay the price now that you didn't pay when you before. Buy it now for what, pay the price now for then, and you can redeem some things in your life. That's all it means. But now listen, that's a great principle too, by the way. These four verses right here. Now, if you listen to me this morning, and the Spirit of God will open this up to our understanding today, I can tell you right now by the authority of the Word of God and Jesus Christ Himself, I can tell you right now how your life's going to turn out. And it will turn out exactly like He said. Now, we've got two people here, wise and foolish. Now, you understand, foolish in the Bible doesn't mean stupid. Foolish in the Bible means knows what's right, but doesn't do it. Now, that's a fool. Wise person is simply someone who does what the Bible says. Now, one, the wise man's house stands, the foolish man's house fell. Boy, it had a storm last night. I mean, lightning, rain, thunder. Where I'm from, it stops raining the end of May and doesn't rain again until October. I'm talking clear, dry, hot days. But not like your hot here. Your hot is a humid hot. Mine is very dry. Our humidity last week was like 4% or 6%. But it was 105. So it's a dry heat. Hey, 105 is 105, Spanky. Hot is hot, okay? One day last year, on the same day last year, three hottest places on planet Earth. Two of them were in the Sahara Desert in Africa, and the other one was Redding, California, where I pastor. Almost 120 degrees. Hot, hot. You had a storm last night. Now listen very carefully. These guys build houses, and they both experience a storm. Same storm, by the way. One makes it, the other one doesn't. Now, I think, if I was to ask each of you this morning, do you want your life to turn out okay? I think a majority of you would say yes. Maybe not Matt. He's a little slow. He might still be thinking on his name. But other than that, I think most of you would say yes, right? You want a life that turns out right. Look at me. You want a life that makes it. People use that expression today. Get a life! They don't even know where to go get one. But they're telling you to do it. Right here, four verses. Now watch me. Jesus is going to open to you the future. Your future. How it's going to be for you. Now look at me. You say, well, not me. See, I already got it figured out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will not let anybody and their life choices mock His Word. No way, not going to happen. It will be exactly the way He says it is here. That is how it will go for your life. That is how it will go for my life. That is how it will go for anyone's life. So one guy makes it, the other one doesn't. One person's life stands, the other one falls. We're going to learn some things about life today and how your life will turn out. Let's pray and get to it. Father, please bless us. Holy Spirit, help us today. Open to us the Scriptures, the understanding of Your Word again. Father, please, please, if ever we listen to the authority of the Word of God today, I pray it's now. And help me today to say what I should say. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's look at this. First of all, there's some similarities about these men I want you to notice. Number one, they both built their houses. They both built their houses. The fool built his house. Did he not build his house? He built his house. Go ahead and rattle your head like that and make that BB around in there. He did. He built his house, didn't he? And the wise man built his house. Now, here's a lesson. Achieving a goal does not make you successful. Setting a goal and reaching the goal does not make you successful. Because the fool set a goal and reached it. The world will tell you today, you know, if you just say, let me tell you something, pal, you set a plan. And if you reach that plan, that makes you successful in life. Wrong. Wrong. 10,000 times wrong. Achieving a goal does not make you successful. Achieving a goal the right way, the right manner, getting there the way you're supposed to be, that's success. Well, I just want to get married. I mean, that's all I want to do. Well, you can go find some blind, ignorant, retarded sucker who'll marry you. You can get married, but that doesn't mean success. You marry the wrong person, young person. You listen to me. You marry the wrong person. That is the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. Meet them all the time. See them all the time. Young people went to our Christian schools. They have their own goals. They have their own agenda. And they have accomplished, in some cases, they have accomplished their goals and their agendas. Whether it was setting out, you know, deciding to do the dumb stuff of chuck it all and go to the carnal fleshly life and get all that and do all that and be all that and accomplish what the world thinks makes you happy and successful. And they get there and they get it. And when they get it, they hate it. They despise it. Got a couple of kids with different fathers and they're stuck in life on welfare, have to sit at a bus station to get a bus to get somewhere in their life, and they've got nothing but they accomplished their goals. They got away from their parents, and they got away from authority, and they got away, and they did their own thing. By the way, not just, you know, wound up in the welfare mentality and wound up on the bottom end of the scale of life. I'm talking about young people who just decided, hey, man, I'm doing this my own way. I'm not going to the kind of Bible college I'm told to go to. I'm going to pick my own kind of Bible college, the one I like, the one that it suits me. I'm going to that kind of Bible college. And then they met the kind of person that goes to that kind of Bible college. And they married the kind of person that goes to that kind of Bible college. And you know what? They're clean. They're moral. They pay their debts. They got a nice house. They got a couple of cars in the garage. They got a swimming pool out in the backyard. And they can't keep their marriage together. They can't keep their life together. And they're not happy. But they achieved their goal. There's some similarities in these houses here. They both accomplished a goal. Setting a goal and reaching it doesn't make you a success. The business world, I got young businessmen in my church, they follow these guys, Tony Robbins and these other fools. Tony Robbins can't stay married. He can't keep his life together personally, but he can sure tell you how to be a success. You know how he's become so successful? Selling seminars and books to you that makes him rich, that makes him a success. But he can't do it in his own life. Figure that one out. That's like a, duh. I mean, figure it out. So setting a goal and reaching it doesn't make you a success. They both built houses. Now, listen, this is number two. Similarities here. They both built good houses. See, from the ground up, they're both good houses. The problem's underneath. But from what you could see and I could see, the fool's house looked as good as the wise man's house. It looks like, look here, it looked like, listen now, at the moment, it looks pretty good. Like today. After the storm last night, the lightning popping and the thunder rolling and the rain howling and everything else that was going on, we're lying there last night in the bed, my wife and I were watching the thunder, just the lightning just light up that room. For a while, I stood in the window and looked at it. Well, I said, you probably shouldn't stand in the window. This morning, I opened the curtains and looked out, bright sunshine. My, how things can change. In the moment, look at me, in a moment, anything looks good, right? Limo door, step out, paparazzi, pop, 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 pop. In the moment, it looks like they have the world's attention. Everybody cares about who these stupid people are. I said stupid people. Seriously now, seriously. Have you ever heard Shaq carry on a conversation? Shaq has never heard Shaq carry on a conversation. Guy's got the personality of a fire hydrant. Got the intellect, seriously, got the intellect of a boat anchor. You know what his claim to fame is? He can dunk a basketball. And he's bigger than a house and tennis shoes. He's got illegitimate children all over this country. Immoral, can't keep his act together. The man's life is messed up. I don't care if he's a nice guy or not. His life is messed up. But in the moment, see. In the moment. One house looks just as good as the other house. But yonder over there, there's some storm clouds brewing. Now, they don't see that yet, but it'll come. But in the moment, you can never tell. Young people, you cannot gamble with your future. And say, well, I'm just, you know, I don't know about that, but this is what I'm doing right now. Oh, come on, man. You got a blueprint for your brain? I'm building an idiot. Are you outside of your mind? Like there's no tomorrow. Like nothing's going to happen next week. Like it's just, you know, okay, I don't know, but this is what I'm going to do, man. It's just what I'm going to do. And just in the moment, we look at somebody in the moment of their life and we say, phew, I wish I had that. Man. I know people in my church, they drive around in the rich neighborhoods and look at the $2 million houses. They go, phew, look at that home. That's not a home, that's a house. Bricks and mortar. Wood, maybe. Some metal studs. That's a house. Home's what goes on under the roof. In the moment? Really? In the moment, both built good houses. Number three similarity is this. They both experienced the same storm. Do you see that when we read that? Look at Matthew 7 again. When it repeats, and every time the Bible repeats itself, it's not because God's looking for filler material. Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 25. Look at verse 27. And the rain descended, the floods came. Same storm. They both experienced the same thing. How come one person experiences something, they go on, the other one just falls flat on their face, can't handle it, can't deal with it? We are going to go through life and experience many of the same things in life that others do. When it comes to difficulties or hardships or battles or struggles in our life, we're all going to say, well, what's the point of being a Christian? Well, man, think about it. You've got to be kidding me. The point is this, what we go through in life, and God gives us grace to stand and make it and continue and go on. And not just hold out faithful to the end, brother. I mean more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. What threatens their life we stand upon. But we're going to go through the same kind of stuff. So watch me. So if you think, I don't care what he says, I'm chucking this whole thing, I'm out of here, I'm gone, as soon as I finish up, man, I'm out of this thing, I'm out of this, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to get to that place where in life where nobody tells me what to do. Favorite story on the planet is one of our teenagers said, I'm sick and tired of my parents telling me what to do, I'm joining the Marine Corps. That was so funny. I just said, okay. See you, pal. But do me a favor. When boot camp's over, come back and see me, would you? If you live. I can't think. My parents are telling me what to do. I'm going to join the Marine Corps. Look, he could have joined the Coast Guard or something, but not the Marine Corps, for goodness sake. The Marine Corps! He came over boot camp, just shook my hand, nodded his head. I go, uh-huh. Mama telling you pick up your drawers a whole lot better than boot camp in the Marine Corps. Huh. Hey, you know what? Let's do it. So what? We say, oh, I'm going to get where. No, my generation, when we were teenagers, we were dumber than you guys are. Every man marches to the beat of a different drummer. Huh? Remember that one? I'm going to do my own thing, man. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know what we became? The do my own thing generation. And then we were doing what everybody else who said they're going to do their own thing did. We did what they did. There's no such animal as do your own thing. There's no such animal. We go through the same storms in life. We're going to experience the same things. So we better have the grace and the help of God to get through these things or we're going down. Because that's what happens here. Now, that's where the similarities end. Let's talk about the differences. This one guy, the wise builder, because that's the one we want to learn from. He, look at verse 24, he was wise before he built his house. Notice what Jesus says here. Look at verse 24. Follow the wording. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. He hears what Jesus says. He does what Jesus says. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. He was wise before he built. Now listen to this. He was wise because he believed the Word of God and the Son of God, and he built his life. He did it before he had a life to build. That's why this message is for you this morning. I'm 53 years of age. The majority of my life is now behind me. Now when you start talking about people who are 70, I think, you know, that's not that far off. Yeah, I know I'm older and, you know, dirt, got one foot in the grave and another one on a banana peel. So most of my life is now past me. You know something, young people? You have the opportunity to be wise before you build your life and build it like Jesus said, whosoever heareth my words and doeth them, he's the wise one. Wise before you build. Not playing roulette with your life. Not gambling with your life. There's a stupid game. If you do that, you're stupid. They take a revolver. Six rounds. Take all the bullets out except one. Spin it, cock it, and put it to the head and pull the trigger. They call it Russian roulette. With this advanced day of video games and the idiot mentality of video games, now they started playing the game with five bullets in the chamber and one empty. Now that's stupid. The other guys are just as dumb. These guys are like double stupid. Because they're risking their life. The wise builder was wise before he built. Now, our flesh doesn't want to do that. Our flesh wants to make it our own way, make our own plans, do what we want, and ask God to sign the bottom line of our own contract we have designed. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to be. And by the way, not just, you know, I'm going to be a drunk and a junkie. No, I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman. And that's all well, fine, and good. We need doctors, lawyers, and businessmen. Nothing wrong with that. You just have to make sure that's his plan, not yours. Wise before he built. That's what makes someone wise, not wise afterwards. Well, I did this and that, and then I figured it out. Yeah, but then the time's gone. I lost 10 years of my life outside the will of God. I can't get that back. No, all the woulda, coulda, shoulda, wish I would have done that stuff doesn't make it come back. It's gone. There will be people who will stand at the great white throne judgment and look across at Mike Johnson and say, wait a minute, I did some things with that guy. What do you mean he's here for witness against me? He never told me about Christ. I don't get that back now. That's not wisdom is not, I made a mistake and got it right. Wisdom is, I was smart enough to not make the mistake and trust God. He was wise before he built. Look at this wise man again. He was wise because of how he built. Look at verse 25 now. Watch this. Follow very carefully. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew upon that house, wise man's house, and it fell not. Why? For it was what? Founded upon a rock. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, when this same story is told, it talks about how he digged deep. He got down to foundation stone, and then he built his house. Now, watch this one. Here's the foolish man. He gets his plans together. He's going to build his house. Here's what he does. Yep, good, right there. Go. I guarantee that foolish man was in his house, in a hammock, in the backyard, drinking one of those drinks with an umbrella on it, while the barbecue roasted. He was done. And the wise man was still over here digging. And he's digging. And he's digging. And the foolish man's going, hey, when you can't break for lunch, come on over to my house. You idiot. And I guarantee, just like with Noah and his bunch, they stood around and laughed at him and said, what is the matter with this guy? What is the matter with this young lady? Why are they taking all this time to do all this stuff and go to Christian school and go to youth group and do these things and do all this stuff? What are they wasting all their time for? And there's young people over there, smart young people over there, down there digging deep, Building that getting to that foundation. Now read that Bible, walk with God. Smart young person. Getting their life ready to build on the right kind of foundation. While the fool's over here going, man, are you out of your cotton picking mind? Do you know what I did last weekend? We went out and had so much fun, got drunk. I don't know what happened, but we had fun. How do you know you had fun? You weren't even awake to know what happened. Puke my guts out. Well, go stick your finger down your throat and join them. I mean, what's the big deal anyhow? Why are we infatuated with a bunch of losers? Fool over here. Yeah, that's good right there. That's good. Not the wise man. No. He's down here. It's in the hot sun. He's digging down through there. When he finds the rock, he goes, okay, now let's make it a little wider here. All right, let's build it right here now. Oh, there's the fool. He's done it. Haven't even started yet. Yeah, they've already spent up their life, their future, their hope, their plans. It's all shot and gone. Hey, but they're there. They're there. When you see them driving around town, you're going, psh, I'm going to church. He was wise because of how he built. Look at me, young people. I'm sorry. I know we've got microwave ovens. You shove a turkey in there, push that thing in 5 minutes, you got a turkey cooked. I understand. No, that's not how it works, but pretty close. We got a microwave generation, right? Everything is whoop, now. That's the foolishness of video games. That ain't life, pal. You ever bust your knuckles on some sucker's head? Huh? You don't get points. Do you understand that? You don't get points. I ran with people when I was a teenager in Southern California that when they whooped you, they didn't just knock you down. And then you got points. They rolled you over, put your jaw on the curb, and stomped on your face till they broke your jaw. They mutilated you. You don't get points. You're going to be kidding me. That isn't life. He was wise because of how he built. Look here, he took the time. He had to dig down and find that rock thing. You got to do that. You have to take the time to lay the groundwork for a Christian life that works. Read the Bible, pray. Read the Bible, pray. I had a man one day tell me, so Pastor Johnson, after I read the Bible and pray, what do I do? Oh, there's some other things to do, but you can't do anything until you get that one. We want to jump past all that stuff, okay? But, I mean, how do you get? Here's my favorite one. We want to reach into the will of God and pull out the parts we want, but we don't mess with the rest of that stuff. Well, I want to marry a good person. Well, you know, that's brilliant. Brilliant, good. You want to marry someone good, because if you marry someone bad, you'll be very sorry. And they'll make you sorry every day of the rest of your life. See that lady right back there? 31 years we've been married. On this earth, there's nothing more precious to me than that lady right there. You really think, that we can bypass some steps, that God's going to let you reach in the will of God and pull out the right person to marry? Why would He want you to marry him? You just mess up their life. That's not going to work. You know how many preachers I know? Ask your pastor. You know how many preachers I know whose ministry, their life for God, is greatly hindered because they married the wrong person? You talk about ball and chain, pal. You have young ladies I know who would now love to do the will of God, serve God, do what they want to with their life, want to raise their children in the right kind of atmosphere, and her husband's saying, uh-uh. No, we're going ATVing this weekend. We're not going out of that church all the time. It takes time, young people. He was wise because of how he built. Number three, he was wise because what he built lasted. Now, when the storm comes, then you're going to find out who's smart. By the way, hey, watch this. How about Mr. Foolish Man over here? Huh? He's out there on the porch, drinking that tea with the umbrella in it. All of a sudden, here comes the dark clouds, and he's going, uh-oh. And the rain comes in, and the winds blow, and his house starts to shake. And what does he do? He runs into his house for protection, and it falls on him. That guy who took that time to build that house on the rock down there. He gets the side of his house, hunkers down, rides the storm out. He makes it. Okay, here it is. Watch me. And now who's the fool? And now who's the wise guy? Got it? Look like a fool. I said a fool. You think Michael Vick's going to look smart sitting in a federal penitentiary somewhere? The man makes $130 million. And he threw it all away for a $100 dog fight. That doesn't sound too smart to me. I'm not, my economics is not good. Not good. But I think that's what you call stupid. The rest of his life, everywhere he goes in his life, people are going to be throwing dog bones at him. Yeah. Like Barry Bonds. I mean, seeing Barry Bonds out in California. Everywhere he goes and plays baseball, they throw syringes at him. He's out there warming up, playing catch, and they're throwing syringes at him. Because he juiced. And I ain't talking orange juice either. He juiced. He marked his life. He doesn't deserve to be in a record book. You know what Hank Aaron won the home run record on? Huh? Turnip greens. Eating good. And hitting homers. You know what Babe Ruth did it on? Beer and hot dogs. Wouldn't recommend the beer. Do recommend the hot dogs. Barry Bonds did it on juice. He juiced. He stole the record. Everybody from now on. Okay, now who's the fool? Who's the wise one? Who? But see, here's the sad thing. I want you to listen very carefully. You don't find out till it's too late. Fool's house is on the ground there, and he went, "Oh, I didn't do that right." Too late, pal. You ever go camping? Never been camping. Hey, Jesus says, "I'll put your fan up in the air." I hate camping. Camping is for stupid people. You work all year long to put a roof over your house and go sleep on the ground for your vacation. Think about it. See, that's dumb. My idea of roughing it is a $200,000 motorhome with a broken microwave oven. Now, that's roughing it. And I've hunted and fished all my life in camp. I hate camping. I hate sleeping on the ground. Ain't nothing glorious about laying there with a rock sticking in your back. Ain't no fun about that. I'm in a tent one night. Rain comes down. Camp tent collapsed on top of me. We're wet. It's cold. It's dark. The fire's out. We're soaking wet in the middle of the night. And boy, is this fun or what? We're sitting there in the morning eating cold Denny Moore beef stew out of the can for breakfast. Yeah. No, man, get me to Denny's and get me a Grand Slam for breakfast. Now, that's camping. I'm standing there in the rain in the middle of the night with lightning cracking across the tops of these trees up in the mountains. We didn't have to have a flashlight. Not necessary. Well, we'd just get down to the ground and pray that lightning wouldn't strike us and turn us into a post-toasty. That's all we were praying for. Soaking wet, freezing cold, stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. And you know what? So we'll just put the tent back up. Have you ever tried to put the tent up in a storm with the rain hammer down on top of you? You hold the tent up and the wind goes. Now you got to go climb the top of a 60-foot pine tree to get the tent out of the top of the tree where the lightning's going. No, you just sit down. You can't get a fire going, so you're freezing to death. You're sitting there. Everything you got's wet. Everything. And you sit under the tree like Daniel stinking Boone, and you're thinking, what in the world am I doing? It's insane! And then the next time you go camping again? No. I've ridden that many a bad storm in a nice big motorhome with a generator. Oh, it's rough out here, ain't it? We're roughing it, bud. Let me tell you. It's too late. It's too late to go, oops. You don't get another life. You understand that? You don't get to try it again. You don't get your youth again. You don't get your young adult life again. You don't get that first marriage again. You don't get all that again. You get it one time, that's all you get. And when it comes down, then who is the fool? All these old school Christians and what they do and how they live their life. I mean, come on. This is like the 21st century. Thank you very much. I can read a calendar. Oh, what's the matter with these people? Don't they know what really goes on in the real world? Yeah, I know what goes on out there. No, thank you very much. I don't want any of that junk. You understand that? I'm not interested. I'm not infatuated. I don't care about it. I want nothing to do with it. See, when I was a boy, growing up in a drunkard's home, went to bed almost every night listening to my stepfather and my mother fighting in the front room, beating on each other. He's a bartender. He'd come home drunk every night. She'd come home from her work every night, sit down with a fifth of whiskey and 4, 5, 6 packs of beer, and sit there and drink herself into a slobbering fall. And he'd come home and they'd start fighting. And almost every night of my childhood, I listened to those two people stand in the front room and duke it out. I'd get up in the morning, walk across the kitchen floor, and step on my mother's teeth with my bare feet and pick up a tooth with meat hanging off of it and lay it up on the counter. My mom come to breakfast table in the morning with her glasses like this, big black eye. I'd sit down there and I'd go to the refrigerator to get something to eat. All that was in there was 2 6-packs of hams and a half-used gallon of milk. And I'd try and find myself something to eat, go up in the freezer and pull out a package of Salisbury steaks with a square patty of butter on top of that and pop that thing off of there as a boy. Boy! And then get myself a couple pieces of old moldy bread and fry that in a frying pan, put a little mayonnaise on it and eat it as I went to school. I think to myself, is this what my life is always going to be? I lay there in bed at night with hot tears running down my face thinking, is this what my life is always going to be? Then after you beat on my mother for a while, he'd come in the bedroom and jerk us up out of bed and slap us around for a while. Is this what my life will always be like? I thought to myself, is this it? It's all I'm going to get. It's all it's going to be for me. My brother Bud is 2 years older than I am. One night I wake up and I look up and I flinched like this, as I always did as a kid. Woke up and flinched. And I saw my brother climbing across to my bed. My bed was by the window. And he slid the window open. He had a little ragged thing over his back. I said, Bud, what are you doing? He says, I can't take it anymore, Mike. I got to leave. I got to go. I was 7. He was 9. He says, I can't take it anymore. So I'm going with you then. He goes, I can't take care of you. I don't even know what I'm going to do. He says, I can't take it anymore. And I sat there and I thought to myself, oh, man, you can't leave me here. Bud, you're my brother. You're my friend. You can't leave me here. He said, but Mike, I can't protect you, and I don't know what's going to happen to me. I got to go. And he jumped out the window and walked off into the dark night. Boy, you talk about a kid who felt like he had nothing in this world. I lay there and I said, oh, man. Oh, man. Now my brother's gone, and I'm here. No 7-year-old boy should grab a chair from the dining room table, pull it into the hallway, and reach up and unscrew the light bulb in the hall and get a baseball bat and stand around the corner waiting to lay out his stepfather when he comes around the corner. That's not a 7-year-old dream. I did that many a night. Is that what my life's always going to be, I think to myself? Is this it? This is it. God, in His mercy, took me out of that home. Put me with my grandparents, godly people. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And they said, okay, guys, here's what my grandfather said. He taught us work was not a dirty 4-letter word. It's a good thing. He said, guys, you guys, when I'm going to work today, I want you guys to dig this trench in the backyard for me. Get home and do a good job. We'll take you out and get you pizza, okay? My brother and I, my brother, by the way, they found him a couple of days later and brought him back home. My brother and I said, dig a trench for a pizza? I dig to China for a pizza. We dig that trench, my grandfather come home. Yep, good. Okay, let's get these guys a pizza. Hey, work pays. My brother and I shared a room at my grandparents' house. We lay there at night. I say, hey, bud, you sleep? No. Can you believe it, bud? Can you believe where we are? This is good, isn't it? Oh, yeah, bud. Mike, it's good. Say, hey, bud, I never saw my parents in the same room until I was 22 years of age, and we got married. And we talk sometimes. I say, bud, you think mom and dad ever get back together again? He said, I don't think so, Mike. I don't know. And sometimes I go to sleep at night, and I dream that I hear voices in the front room. And I get up, walk in the front room, and there's my mom and dad standing with their arms around each other, crying, saying, we're going to get back together, son. And I'd wake up and look around and go, well, it was just a dream. I'm 53 years old now, dear people. My life's far from over. But I have a life now that I could not even hope to imagine. So it's all been good for you, huh, Pastor Johnson? Yes, it has. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. I couldn't imagine the life I had when I was a boy now. I couldn't imagine what I have now. Couldn't even hope to imagine it. Couldn't have crossed my mind. See, I didn't know. But God was going to take that little boy out of that drunkard's home. And he got saved when he was 9. I haven't been perfect, but I've tried to do the will of God for my life since I was 22. And the house stands. So you have any more troubles in your life, Pastor Johnson? Oh, yeah. The last few years have been some of the toughest years in my life. That's from a kid growing up in a drunkard's home. But they've also been the best years of my life. Weird mixture. But look here, look here. The storm's out there. But the house stands. Because we built it right. Now, young people, you look at me. You're either going to come to that place where you're going to stand in the wreckage of your life and say, ah, man. Or you're going to stand in the house that Jesus Christ helps you to build because you do what the Bible says, and it'll stand. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. But it's before, not afterwards. It's before, not during. It's before that the wise man was wise. Because he said, you know what, I'm just going to do it Jesus' way. Now that's a basic decision, young people, you can make. And I believe you've made it in your life before, many of you. Some of you, maybe today, you've not made that decision at all. First of all, now listen to me very carefully. You can't build a house that Jesus wants you to build till you are a child of God. I believe the number one reason young people have such a struggle with the things of God in their life is because they're not saved. You have a profession that's not yours. You've never settled the matter of salvation, and it still bothers you. And you've wrestled with this thing, no doubt. I'm not trying to get you to doubt anything this morning. I am trying to get you to be assured of what you have done. And settle that thing once and for all, forever. You don't have to get spooky and have to get weird about it. But friend, it's very simple. Do you remember what you did and why? When you say that you're saved, do you remember what you did and why? What simply means, did you trust Christ as your Savior? Why did you trust Him? Because you knew you were lost and going to hell. Simple as that. Did you trust Christ for your salvation and settle it? Too many young people I know who say, you know what, Pastor Johnson, I'm saved, but see, here's what I'm doing with my life. And they just throw the whole thing of the Christian life aside. And I think to myself, If you are saved this morning, making the decision to build your life the way Jesus wants you to do isn't the decision. It's making the decision and staying with it. Taking time to dig deep. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen this week. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to take place in the next 6 months. Frankly, it's not going to happen until you're up in your early 20s, maybe early 30s, before you really see the thing come together the way God wants you to. But if you build now, right, you'll see it then, and it'll stand, friend. You don't, oh my soul. You'll stand in the wreckage of your life and say, whoops, shouldn't have done that. But that's not the way to do it. Let's not only decide we're going to build the way Jesus wants to. Let's decide we're going to stay with the building program. How He wants us to build this thing. Father, would You help us this morning? Right now, today, would You move on our hearts? Some today, no doubt, I believe, no doubt need to just settle this matter of salvation once and for all, forever in their life. Today. Now. Not walk out of this auditorium, go back to another class, put a bite of lunch in their mouth till they get aside with one of these teachers, faculty members, pastors, myself, whatever, and say, I need to settle it today and settle it now. You're pressing me about this thing, Heavenly Father, so that must mean something needs to be done today. May they realize this is not an embarrassing thing. This is not acknowledging they did anything wrong. They just want to settle it, and everybody would be nothing but happy. They would. Now, Father, would You also work in the hearts of the young people who are working at it, just maybe got a little discouraged with that thing. Laid the foundation, but just haven't got there yet, and got a little discouraged because they haven't got to the rock yet, but they'll get there. Help them with that. For those who've already set up their own plans and are building the foolish house, God, help them to go through a reconstruction program. Tear it all down and let You build it the way it should be. Bless them in their lives today, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. We turn it over to the folks.